Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's been wonderful to hear those testimonies, and it's been such a good weekend. One of the words that really stood out for me over the weekend that was referenced quite a few times was the word reconnect, and that sin and brokenness disconnects us from God and each other. But God pursues us. God is in pursuit of each one of us to reconnect each of us with his heart. And what I want to do this morning is, I guess, to bring a little bit of a Trinitarian perspective on the weekend and on this theme of deeper waters. We heard a lot on Friday and Saturday about, first of all, the Father heart of God, God as parent, and the remarkable truth that we are adopted children into God's family. Martin in particular shared that very, very powerfully. And we've heard a lot about Ellie's remarkable friendship and relationship with Jesus, and a reminder that all of us can walk with Jesus every single day, skin to skin. But what I want to do this morning is to talk about the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, share a little bit of my journey, my story over the last few years. And one of the profound wonders of our faith is that we worship the triune God. We worship a God whose very nature is deep, deep, deep relationship, a relationship that we are called into. So if you have got a Bible handy, I'm going to read from Ezekiel 47, which, as many of you know, is very relevant to the theme of deeper waters. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read from verses 1 to 6. So this is Ezekiel 47. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. So it starts as this little trickle, and then it's ankle deep. Verse 4. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" And I'd encourage you to read the rest of the chapter. I'd encourage you to go to the end of Revelation, because there's another amazing description of the river of God. There are a number of theological interpretations of Ezekiel 47, but one very, very important one is that this vision of Ezekiel represents increasingly deeper engagement and relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the river is a symbol of God's Spirit. And we know that throughout Scripture, the theme of water, the image of water, is frequently associated with the Holy Spirit. So one example that most of us will be familiar with is in John 7, verses 38 and 39. Jesus is talking about the rivers of living water that are going to flow in and through every believer when the Holy Spirit comes. And I think a really good question for us to ask it as Christians is, how do we have a real, living, true, vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit? We can get our heads around having a relationship with Father God. We can get our heads around having a relationship with Jesus. But somehow it can conceptually be a little bit more difficult to think, actually, how do I relate to the Holy Spirit? How do I have a friendship, a living relationship with a third person of the Trinity? A key part of my own discipleship journey over probably the last 20 years has been exploring this call to deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when we read those verses from Ezekiel, we see that the ultimate destination, the invitation, is to the depths of the river. Yes, we can just kind of hang around on the banks, on the edge, and maybe dip our toes in, but we know that there's a deep invitation in this chapter to the depths, to the depths of relationship with the Spirit of God. But Ezekiel is led through these stages. There's a progression in this river imagery. And I believe that we can consider different levels or stages with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this is something that I've really been pondering on over the last couple of years. And I feel like God's talking to me an awful lot about these different levels of engagement. So I'm just going to, fairly quickly, because I know I haven't got a lot of time, but I'm going to share just a little bit of the things that God has been showing me about going deeper with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about five different levels or layers. What I want to say is, as I share these levels, these layers with you, it's not always about a linear progression. And I think that in many ways, these layers are weaving in and out of each other. We can move between them. We might visit all five in 1 week. But it's an invitation to explore these different levels and different layers. So, the first level of relationship with the Holy Spirit is salvation. Salvation. The Holy Spirit has a very important role to play in bringing us to Christ, in bringing us to new birth. There's the revelation of Jesus. You know, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need that initial revelation of Jesus, don't we? And the Spirit enables us to do this. When we're still a long way from Jesus, when we don't know Jesus, when we're unbelievers, the Spirit enables us to see the truth of the gospel in a clear light. Then there's the conviction of sin, which is a key part of that salvation process, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction of sin to the unbeliever. And then there is our supernatural childbirth. As Jesus says in John 3, verse 5, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." A spiritual rebirth by the Spirit of God. And yeah, we all have a story. Most of us in the room today will have that story of coming to know Jesus. Most of us will be able to look back and see where the Holy Spirit was at work, leading us to that divine embrace. It's through the Holy Spirit that God makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus and adopts us into his family. And we heard these verses yesterday, but I'll just remind you of Romans 8, 15 to 16, where Paul writes, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So this is this first stage, that initial trickle of the Holy Spirit. And at this stage, we have very little personal knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but he is clearly at work. The second level of relationship with the Spirit is the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives as believers, what he does for us as Christians, as the covenant people of God. One of the Spirit's primary roles is making us more like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit loves to do through this ongoing work of sanctification. This sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, which is really clear in Scripture. And actually, we could say that this is very much a continuation of level one. We have been saved, but we go on being saved, don't we? Of being sanctified, the ongoing process of purification and refining, the Holy Spirit's fire deep at work in our hearts and minds to help us become more like Jesus. Now, as well as this, there are many, many other aspects of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us as Christians, as the Holy Spirit helps us mature spiritually. There are loads and loads of references, particularly in the New Testament, to the work the Holy Spirit does, all the things the Holy Spirit does for us as Christians. I'll just briefly mention two of them. So the Spirit teaches us. That's a really important role, the Spirit, in our lives. John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Another thing the Holy Spirit does for us as Christians, the Spirit releases God's love into our hearts. Romans 5:5, Paul writes, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." There's loads more. You know, you just have to read through the New Testament and see all these wonderful ways that the Spirit helps us. Now, let me share an observation about this second level of relationship with the Holy Spirit. I think that for many Christians, this is kind of as far as we get. I mean, it's a really good place to be, but it feels quite safe and comfortable. And if I think about my upbringing, so I was brought up in a very conservative evangelical Anglican church in York. And this level was as far as we got when it came to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sometimes referenced, but kind of as a means to an end. The Spirit was certainly not talked about as a person that we could get to know and have a relationship with. And I think that highlights an issue that we need to be aware of, because we might theoretically understand the Holy Spirit as a person, but perhaps practically we treat him as a thing, as a nebulous aspect of God, with no direct relationship with him. It's like we're happy keeping the Spirit at a safe distance. It's quite a passive approach to the Holy Spirit. All I can say is we need to get to the third level. Because the third level of how we engage with the Holy Spirit is the level of deep friendship and fellowship. Each one of us can have a true friendship with the Holy Spirit. Just before, the night before Jesus went to the cross, he had this deep, wonderful, long, expansive conversation with his disciples in the upper room. And one of the key things he does in that significant time is introduce his disciples to the person of the Holy Spirit. And that night, Jesus uses a very interesting word for the Holy Spirit. And in Greek, it's the word parakletos, parakletos. Jesus in John 14, 16 says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another parakletos that he may remain with you forever. And this beautiful Greek word, it's multifaceted, and depending on which English version of the Bible you've got, it might be translated as friend, helper, comforter, counselor, advocate. Its most literal meaning is the one who comes alongside us. The one who comes alongside us. It's a word that conveys companionship, friendship, comradeship, sharing together, intimacy. And this is where we move from it to person, where we know the Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit like we'd know a close friend. This is where we're moving from passive to active engagement, where we're actively building friendship, building a relationship with the best possible friend we could imagine. Jesus told his disciples that they would be sent another parakletos. And the Greek word another means just like the first. So Jesus is promising that the one who comes after him will be just like him. And if we think about the level of friendship that Jesus had with his disciples, living 24/7 with the Son of God, talking together, eating together, laughing together, walking for miles and miles and miles together, doing ministry together, resting together, enjoying Sabbath together. And Jesus says he is going to send them a friend who is just like him. Our friendship with the Holy Spirit has the potential to be the single most important and significant relationship in our entire life, this parakletos. And what's beautiful is that as we start to build this friendship with the Holy Spirit, we start to recognize the Spirit's voice, the familiarity of a close friend. So, level one, salvation. Level two, all the wonderful things the Holy Spirit does for us as believers. Level three, deep friendship with the Holy Spirit. Just gets better and better, doesn't it? So what's level four? Well, level four is the power of the Spirit. I just want to make the point that I believe it's really important that we do level three friendship before level four power. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment or two. But this fourth level is how, once we've developed that deep friendship with the Holy Spirit, we engage with the power of the Spirit. When we talk about power, we're not talking about power as the world understands, not a worldly power. But we can't ignore the fact that there is a clear association in the Bible between the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus' words to his disciples at the end of Luke's gospel, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And those words, of course, were fulfilled at Pentecost a few weeks later. The Holy Spirit enables us to be effective, supernatural people as he distributes his grace gifts through the body. Miracles, healings, signs and wonders, revelations and visions, amazing, powerful gifts. And the Spirit empowers us so that we can go out and do the works of the kingdom with this dynamic partnership. I mean, what a difference Pentecost made to those first Christians. I'm sure we've all got stories, testimonies, where we see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. I think of a friend of mine years ago who was powerfully healed of multiple sclerosis. I think of another friend of mine, a Serbian friend of mine, who has an incredible story, a miraculous story about how she was delivered through the Holy Spirit from the curse of heroin addiction. She'd been a heroin addict for 10 years, and the power of the Holy Spirit came and delivered her from that addiction. We may be jars of clay, but we are made to carry the all-surpassing power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, for the sake of the world around us. This fourth level is a wonderful level, but there are a couple of dangers that we need to be aware of. First of all, there is the danger of dishonoring the Holy Spirit by treating the Holy Spirit as a utility. It's like a tap we can turn on or off. So we turn to the Holy Spirit when we need heat and power and we cry, "Come, Holy Spirit," but then we ignore him the rest of the time. That's a bit rude, isn't it? And then secondly, there is the danger of making it functional, not relational, of doing level four before level three, of doing power before we pursue that deep covenantal friendship. We need to do three before we do four. Covenant comes before kingdom. Let's go to the fifth level, the deepest level. This is the level of unconditional surrender. Ezekiel 47, verse 5. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. What does it mean to be out of our depths in this mighty river of God's Spirit? This deepest level is one of unconditional surrender to the Holy Spirit, where we are prepared to follow the Holy Spirit wherever he leads. It's about a letting go. It's about a yielding. It's about laying aside our own agendas. It's about being fully aligned with God's will. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the Bible uses the language of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray that a lot, don't we? We want to be filled and refilled and constantly filled with the Spirit. But if we are serious, really serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to count the cost. Because being filled with the Spirit is more than just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. It's about complete surrender. It's about getting every last bit of ourselves out of the way. Every last bit of our selfish nature out of the way. Being filled to the brim requires a total emptying of what the Bible calls self, our kind of fleshly, selfish nature. A key theme in the New Testament, which is not that popular if we're honest, but a key theme is that of dying to self, dying to egotism, to self-determination, to self-achieving. Jesus talks clearly about the life we must lose, the self we must abandon, the kernel of wheat that must fall to the ground and die, the self-seeking that we must jettison. In the words of Eugene Peterson, we practice our death by giving up our will to live on our own terms. This aspect of relationship with the Holy Spirit doesn't tend to get a lot of press, especially in charismatic circles, but it's holy ground. And it's that shift of perspective from what the Holy Spirit does for me to, Holy Spirit, what can I do for you? And we notice this fifth level being symbolized by Stephen, that first martyr in the book of Acts. At the moment of his stoning in Acts 7, it tells us that he was full of the Holy Spirit. We notice this fifth level being expressed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 when he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. So it's this complete surrender and yielding with nothing held back. It's very challenging, isn't it? It's very challenging. And we might ask, why would we want this deepest level of the Holy Spirit if it's going to cost us so much? Well, throughout the centuries, Christian mystics have talked about this thing, this concept that they name union with God. Union with God. And I believe it's at this fifth level that we find this union. Union with God, a deep, intimate, and transformative relationship with God that goes way beyond mere intellectual knowledge. It's experiencing the very depths of God's presence. And I think at this level, at this place of union with God, we experience the fulfillment of 1 John 4:13, where John writes, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. We in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit." That's why we would go to this deepest level. We live in him and he lives in us. When it comes to the third person of the Trinity, there is so much more. There are levels for all of us to explore. And as I said at the beginning, it's not a linear progression. We can weave in and out of all these different levels. But I just want us all to hear today that invitation to deeper and deeper and deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. So how do we respond? How do we respond? Perhaps there's one or two of you here this morning and you're at that stage of exploring the Christian faith. You don't really have a relationship with Jesus yet, but you're exploring. And I would invite you, as we pray in a moment, just to welcome this Holy Spirit and ask for a revelation of Jesus. Perhaps because of the things that you're going through in your life at the moment, you want to engage with the Holy Spirit at that second level of you just need the Holy Spirit's help. You need his truth. You need his comfort. You need his love. That's absolutely fine. He loves to do that. Perhaps you're here today and you've got that longing in your heart for that Parakletos friendship, that level of friendship that Jesus promises. Perhaps you're here today longing for deeper levels of Holy Spirit power, because as you look on the world around you, as you look at your family, your neighbours, you just want that deep, deep Holy Spirit power to make a difference. Or perhaps as you've listened to me talk about the fifth level, it's that level that is tugging at your heart today, that level of unconditional surrender. You know it's going to cost, but you're prepared to get completely out of your depths with the Holy Spirit. I'd just love to pray for all of us as we finish. So if I could invite you to stand if you're able. And I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer. This is a prayer that I pray most mornings with the Holy Spirit. And then I'll hand over to Mike. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our lives today. Holy Spirit, more of you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, take us deeper. Amen.